I'm feeling this more and more every day. We are really blessed that we are where we are. The group of people, the different churches that we affiliate ourselves with, that we've opened up to in terms of all of the unity worship, all of that. There's something very, very special that's really going on, and we had a pastor's meeting last Wednesday, and it was just so fantastic. The presence of the Lord was just dripping all over us. I don't know how to describe it beyond that. We talk about scriptures. We talk about situations and needs. We worship together. We have communion together. And not always in that kind of order, but, we were having communion. We had finished work. We had talked. We had finished worshiping, and we were getting ready for communion, and Dave Kanner asked for everybody in the circle to share a scripture that was on their heart or felt led to share with everybody else. And so we all went around, as the bread got passed around, we shared a scripture with one another. And it was just something else. All of the scripture, I felt so fed. I felt like a sponge just soaking up. And, Jesus is the Word made flesh. And speaking that, we just drew on the Spirit of God through the Word. And everybody was, everybody said, I mentioned something about it, and I said, I just feel like I can't get enough, and there's so much here. I'm getting so fed, and I was trying to think of some other words, and Bob Harris standing beside me, and he says, yeah, I feel like a sponge. I said, that's what I was looking for. I feel like a sponge, just soaking up this. And I just want to say to you, ask God that whatever it is that you're to get today, that you just soak it in like a sponge. Amen? I mean, if we're going to be here, let's get something out of it. Right? Like the song that Noah had picked out, it's time to draw a line. It's time to say, no more of this, and a lot more of that. That's how I feel. And I think the Lord is putting that inside of people. And I'll tell you, with what is up ahead, we're going to need every bit of all of what God has for us, and not any more of what we are used to in the way that we think, in the way that we react. It really is time. It is, as the scripture says in Romans somewhere, it is high time that we put aside the deeds of darkness and walk in His light. It's just high time. Yeah? I'm appalled at what is going on in this world. I'm appalled by it. So, excuse me. I want us to return to Ronnie, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So if you would turn there. Ronnie quoted the scripture that we're starting this message out. What I'm really doing here, as I was asking the Lord what to preach for today, what his message was, he told me to go back and talk about what happened last week at Harvest with me and Kat. I want to tell you a little bit about that. And this is the scripture that led off the discussion that we had at Harvest last week. And this is so apropos. And then Ronnie mentions that scripture. And then, we sang a song that talked about stronghold. Every stronghold must come down, right? Yeah. And it says here, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to start verse 3. Let me ask you something. What's going on inside your mind and your heart right now, knowing that somebody else said the scripture that was going to be the lead scripture for today? What does that say? I want to know. What does that say to you? What does that say to you, Sylvia?
That the Holy Spirit is the one that's leading with God's word to be taught to you. That it's not a man thing. It's the truth and the Spirit of God that wants us to hear certain things.
Yeah.
Saying that this is important.
This is important.
You've got to be paying attention.
This is not playing church. This isn't just us going over some scriptures. This isn't somebody that just decided, this is the scripture that I'm going to say today. What an amazing thing this is.
How many scriptures in the Bible? I mean, come on. Think about it. How many scriptures in the Bible? And Ronnie says the same exact one.
Right.
The same one.
And he was tying it in with the song.
Right.
Right? So here's a song that's chosen. Here's a scripture that goes with that song. Right? And it's the very thing that's starting out this message.
Let me tell you something else. Crystal came over last night to read that scripture. Uh-huh. I'm not a great reader. I put words where it's supposed to be. And I told her I would rather not do that. But I prayed about it before I got up there. And I opened that scripture up. And I said, Lord, I can do this.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Mm-hmm. This is good stuff. Mm-hmm. Don't you think? What is God going to do inside your heart, my heart today? You know? I've been watching some videos lately. I'm not going to get into the content of it. Just to let you know that it's all kinds of prophecy, end time prophecy. Modern day prophets saying visions that they've seen or heard, and then speaking it, and they put it on YouTube, and you get to hear some of the things that are said, and some things are right on the money, and some things aren't. You know, you and I have to be able to discern, get our way through some of that, because not everything that somebody says, thus says the Lord, is coming from the Lord, and it has to be something that really witnesses to your heart. But I want us to look here, because Rob Haynes last week started our discussion with this particular scripture. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want to ask you a question. How many of you think that there might be some strongholds in your life? Also, maybe this pertains to every single person. Yeah? Every single one of us have strongholds. Now, what's that referring to? Stronghold.
Things you don't want to let go.
Things that are so, have us so strongly controlled. Right? It's the enemy of our souls has seen the weaknesses as we've grown up. And they go, aha, I can do something with this person in that area. And so they attack you. Of course, you don't know you're being attacked. You're a little kid. And through saying things to your mind and us accepting things, we open up to those spirits, and there we are. And over time, those things become more and more entrenched in our minds, and then in our feelings, and then in our attitude. Our attitude toward our mother and father, our attitude towards our siblings, our attitude about school, our attitude about this, our attitude about that. Yeah.
Can I add something?
Our attitude about ourselves.
Malcolm?
Yes.
It's also detrimental to the other people and yourself at the same time.
Yes. Yeah.
Physically,
yeah.
Mentally, emotionally, the whole shebang.
The whole thing. The whole thing. And these are strongholds. And God says, tells Paul to speak to the Corinthians that, hey, look, even though we're human beings, we walk in the flesh, we have a flesh and blood body, there's warfare in life where people join armies and they go out and they have to physically fight. And he's saying, look, even though we're that kind of people and we do have to do those kinds of things, the real warfare is inside. And the real warfare is in the pulling down of strongholds. Now, the enemy even speaks to our mind. We can have a stronghold that poo-poos this.
Oh, there's no such thing as the devil. There's no such thing as dark spirits. They're not
interested in me. Who am I that they would spend any amount of time with? I'm just a nobody. Yeah?
Yeah.
Even that. They're stubborn spirits that grab hold of people. And if things don't go a person's way, they're so darn stubborn and they're mad. And I mean, these spirits, and they work on you month after month and year after year, and it becomes who you are. It is a strong hold. It's not easily broken, in other words. It's strong. It's strong in you. It's strong in me. And therefore, it isn't something that we can really take lightly. Because these strongholds of the enemy can destroy us. You think so?
Yes.
These strongholds of the enemy keep you and I from actually hearing the voice of God to such a degree that we recognize it every single time. And we recognize every single time what's God and what isn't. I bet you there's not one person here that can say, oh, I got that every single time. I know every single time when it's God and when it's not. When it's me and when it's the enemy. When it's me and when it's an angel. When it's me and when it's something else. Oh, no. No, there's not one single person here. And if you are, I think you're dealing with some spiritual pride. And that's another part of the message. I told Kathy, I said, you know, I got about five messages, really. Depending on how deep the Lord takes us into what we're going to talk about today. But we are talking about, basically, what we're talking about is our thought life. And how important it is that we do. I thought Noah's song is just fantastic. And that there is a line that you and I have to draw. We have to say, you know what? It's about time that I stop playing around with this and that I get moving in the direction God has me, because God has something so fantastic ahead for the people of God here at the end of the age. Now, I brought a message, I don't know, half a year ago or so, that was out of, I don't think it was the main part of the message, but I brought it in, into the message. It was out of Psalm 110, and it says that thy people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. That's what the psalmist says, that people are going to be willing. They're going to hear what God has to say, and there's going to be this willing heart that is just going to say, God, I want to be who you want me to be. I want to be someone who isn't satisfied with just being a believer. I want to be a disciple. I want to have an ear that hears like a disciple, like someone who sits at the master's feet. It's not a lax, casual, compromising kind of relationship. That you and I are going on with something more in Christ. It's about time that the church wake up to this in a much greater way. I'll tell you what. I have had some real breakthroughs in certain areas of my life. Just recently, some things I thought were strongholds that I would never get rid of. Never, ever, 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 ever get rid of. And I know I still have to be vigilant because the enemy likes to come back.
That's right.
I actually had a dream last night where I dreamt that I had apparently defeated this. In my mind, it was the word adversary. I had defeated this adversary of mine. Now, I wonder who that is. You know? And I was in this building, and I had this boss who came. It was almost like I was a policeman or a soldier or a detective or something that was kind of official like that. And I was reporting to him, and all these other people around that were part of this organization said, you got this adversary. And something inside me says, I don't think that I have. I said, I think he's lurking. And he's waiting for me to go upstairs on the library. Go upstairs in the building that we were in. I said, I think he's up there. And I think he is going to try to ambush me. He's going to think, I don't think he's around. And he's going to kill me. And then something happened, and then I woke up. I think it was Kathy pushing me. Stop snoring. No, I don't think it was that. You know, it's time to wake up. And I thought, wow, that's really something, you know. We've got to be careful. Even when we have breakthroughs, the enemy just doesn't go, you know, put his tail between his legs and goes running off, whimpering. He looks for other opportunities. And so we want to be people that don't have excuses. We're going to walk on with God. Every single one of us. Every single one. Look at everybody. Yeah. We're going to walk on with God. Because there's some grand things that are coming up. People are going to volunteer in the day of his power. And I think at the end of the age, in the day of the Lord, that this is the day he's going to be showing his power. And in the day of his power, there are going to be people that are going to say, I want to be there for you, Lord. You've done so much for me. I want to be a vessel for you. There's going to be people like that. Are we going to be those that just say we want to be those, but don't let God do anything inside? You know? How's that? That should catch you a little bit. And it says here in verse 5 of chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, casting down imaginations. And the word imagination there means foolish notions, evil plans. That's what that is all about. How many of you have a great imagination?
Sometimes
it's
a little overactive.
And that imagination channeled the right way is a fantastic thing. But a lot of our what he's talking about here is the kind of thing that draws us down the wrong road. Right? That's what this is about. Thoughts that take us to the wrong place. And it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, you know, as that happens, look what verse 6 says. And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience. What? Having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I want you to think about that. We are down at the end of the age. There's going to come a time. God has said, there's a certain destination I want my church to get to. There is a certain time that I have already seen when my church will be at that point. And when that happens, all disobedience is going to be dealt with in the world. Yeah, that's going to happen. There's going to be people that are going to be God's people, obedient people, at the end of the age. Totally perfect? Probably not. But our hearts are going to be for God totally. Totally. And I don't know if any of us are there yet. Maybe we are. But we're going to find out. Because there is, as you know, at the end of the age, there's a fire that's going to test every person's work to see of what sort it really is. Rob asked me, and he said, after we discussed this a little bit, he said, so, Mountain, what do you think are the three attitudes that many Christians have, or that any of us can have at any given time, that are the most destructive? Okay. So, I want to talk at least about one of them today. I never got past one, because by the time we had talked back and forth, it was time for them to stop the service, and gosh, I had a lot more to say.
Shocker.
So, I want to see where I want to start. I think I'll start out. It's not the one I started with in my list here. Let's go to the first. And nobody here gets antsy about time.
No.
Do they?
Not often.
Not too long.
We've only had a few discussions about that over the last couple of years.
Brendan does.
I wasn't bringing up any names.
I mean, but they
right.
Get
yeah, that's right.
A time leash there, you know, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know.
Okay. So, is everybody in 1 Timothy 1? I think this is really, really important, because I think this is one of the three big ones as I had a whole week to think it through, and this is what I distilled it down to. This is one of the three worst things, and here it is. Okay, chapter 1, Timothy, 1 Timothy 1, 5. And now the end of the commandment, and this is a good part, the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Now, how does that read in somebody else's?
Sincere faith.
A sincere faith. A faith that is sincere. Pure heart in the first part. And faith that's unfeigned. A faith that's sincere. Right? A faith that is really real. You know, I've seen many instances, not only in my life, but I've seen it in other people. Come here on Sunday. We know just how to act. We know just how to think. We know just what to say. We can really appear to be such wonderful, loving disciples of Jesus. And we go home. Or we're all by ourselves, and nobody's around. And some things that come out of our mouth, that go through our mind, that don't belong there, and we entertain those thoughts. Yeah? That is not faith unfeigned. That is not a sincere faith. You get see what I'm saying? There's lots of. This is why there's not as much power in the church as there needs to be and will be in a greater measure in America, because our minds are filled with Babylonish concepts, with tolerance to so many things. You know that? We allow ourselves certain avenues of, well, nobody's perfect. Have you thought that before? Nobody, well,
every day.
Can't expect me to. Nobody's perfect. I'm human, after all. All of which is true, right? All of which is true. Are we going to ever be perfect this side of Jesus coming? No. So why am I making a big deal about this? Because there is supposed to be a goal, a clear vision, which is what this whole year was started off on, right? Was us having a vision from God and a better understanding of ourselves and Jesus and what's going on in this world and where we are in His time frame and who we're supposed to be. Oh yeah, we're supposed to, yeah. This is important for us, isn't it? Somebody had a hand up. Oh, yeah, Rich.
And then we talk about that, and we can't say we're just human because we're not just human, because we're born again. And by being born again, then we have the power of God. And so when we say we're just humans, we're denying God.
We don't have that right vision. We don't have that right understanding of who we are, because what goes right along with that, Rachel, is one of the something we covered a few weeks ago. We're new creatures. We're not just, as Paul said to the Corinthians, we're not just, why are you acting like mere men? You see, there's a way higher standard. And we really do need to come up to it. We can't just keep making excuses.
But we're good at making excuses.
Oh gosh, yeah.
we got excuses down.
We do.
This kind of goes with what Reggie had spoken when he had done the sermon too about repentance. Like we know we're all going to fail at some point.
Yes.
But we need to just get over that and ask for forgiveness.
Yes. And go on and allow repentance to have its full work. You know? Somebody is going to do this. Somebody is going to actually volunteer and really be so willing that they're going to allow God to pull out that root of whatever, you know, whatever it is that makes us bitter, cranky, angry. I don't know. Come up with the word that applies to you, right? Cold, maybe to people. Fearful. Yeah.
Pleasure seekers.
Pleasure seekers.
That's a big one.
It is. It's a real big one.
It's a big one these days.
Selfish. Don't really think about others the way we need to. And it says here, you know, that we're supposed to be like that from a pure heart. I mean, I've gotten nailed. I'm nailed. I'm skewered on a wall with this. Maybe you are too. I go, oh, man. I don't want to hear this. Give me something nice.
It is nice because if you eliminate some of this,
you
get a freedom that you never knew you could have.
That's the whole point. Instead of being in a stronghold, held as a prisoner, the stronghold gets torn down. And there's lots of things from our past. Lots and lots and lots of things when we were kids that we probably don't even realize are still got us, and it is a stronghold, and we need release from that kind of subterranean way that you think about people, things, yourself. It's got to come down because God needs people to come up. If we're dragged down, if we're held down in these strongholds, in some dungeon of our own thoughts, it's thoughts that create the attitudes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your thoughts control who you are. Your thoughts lead you to making decisions that really affect your life. So it really is time to cast down the imaginations. It's surely time to pull down the strongholds. But I think, you know, our busy, busy life, we don't have time to do that.
I was just going to say time wasters.
Yeah.
It's like one of the worst things. Like, you know, your time is so important, but you get caught up in so many things that don't even make a difference. Mm-hmm. And I walk with God or in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
I can remember when I was a kid, the oldest of, you know, five kids, and my dad used to never let me sit down to relax. You know, he'd say, you know, go help your mother. Get up. Don't be lazy. Do this. And now, I mean, over the years, I've had to struggle with, okay, what's important? You know?
Yep.
And you know, you think that the things that aren't important are the things that are important because of what you were told when you were a kid.
Yeah.
You know, you're not worth anything if you're not cleaning your house and making everybody walk on air so that your floors stay clean. You know, but really, you know, it's that mindset from when you were a kid, you know, and you think that that's what's more important than taking an hour to sit down and read the word or to pray or to call somebody and encourage them and
see,
all
that. For example, is it wrong to sit down in front of a TV and watch a show? No, there's nothing wrong with that. But what if that is the way that becomes your habit? Instead of taking time, when God is speaking to you and saying, you need some time with me. I need to speak with you. You need to think about what's going on in your life. You need to think about what you're thinking about. Yeah?
Funny that you say this, because I was just having this conversation with my mom yesterday afternoon, because part of their lean book in our Bible study that we're going to do tomorrow, one question talks about, you know, a challenge, and I'm just like, I have no time, and then I'm like, oh, but wait, I'll sit down and watch a show for an hour before I go to bed, and I know God's telling me, Whitney, open up your book, open up your book, and I'm like, I've had enough studying today, I don't want to read anymore, I just want to engulf my brain in stupid TV.
A lot of us, because the way the world is so much social media, so much entertainment, and it really is of Satan, a lot of it. And I don't just mean TV, but I mean it's like thinking that, for me, it's like thinking that my house has to be clean all the time. I've been sick for 3 weeks. I could care less what my house looks like. But it's a shame that you have to get to that point when you realize what is important and what isn't.
It's like setting priorities. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, hey, priority. Watch TV, which is a stupid, ridiculous show, or time with God. I think my priority needs to get more in check,
It's an escape because there's so many, we've built ourselves up to have so many pressures on us. Mm-hmm. A lot of it really doesn't have to be there. But we've created our lives to have so much pressure, so many things we need, so many, you know, there's all kinds of this stuff coming at us that we say we need to escape. So I want to watch a stupid show because then I don't have to think about anything. I can just sit there, laugh. There's no priority. There's no really engaging thought process to the whole thing. So that's where our escape comes. But it really comes to why we put ourselves in that position to feel like we have to escape. That's what it boils down to.
We don't really take that time, and so we run to that rather than running to God. There's nothing wrong with watching some sports, watching some TV shows, doing something else besides praying. You know, I mean, we do. There is a life that we have to be engaged in, and there's nothing wrong with some of this. But it's like, it isn't money that's the problem. It's the love of money, where that becomes your reliance. That becomes your focus. It isn't TV that's the problem. It's that you go to TV, you go to the bottle, you go to this other thing instead of God. And that takes up our time. Those things take our time. And that's what causes lots of the problems in the world. It's amazing to me the number of Christian families that have so many deep problems there. Right? There's not one single family in this room that had it somewhere in the family that there hasn't been some kind of a, deep problem. Am I right?
Yeah.
I think so.
Can I say something? I think people should start thinking about training themselves. When they are afraid, then go to God. When they sin, then go to God. When they are faced with something, go to God. When they watch TV, say, God, sit here and see what I'm soaking in my head. That's not of you. I don't know. I just find that's something we should change our mind to, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, just to to always think God ahead of you, God behind you, and just seek His will whenever your mind is off of Him and something comes to bother you. And say, oh, what's this about God? I don't know, that's how I feel.
Take it all with a lope. Does everybody know what I mean by loping?
Loping.
Yes, what does it mean to lope?
It's a long-legged run.
Yeah, it's an easy kind of peaceful kind of canter. Yeah, you know, you're kind of loping along. Things are pleasant, and though we deal with big things in our life, we've got to learn how to lope in God. And I'll tell you, I really need to learn that. And learn how to go, oh man, my mind's gone off the deep end here. I need to bring my mind back. I see what I'm doing. My thoughts are taking me down the wrong path. Don't condemn myself. Lope. Oh, okay. Oh, so Lord, you showed me that I went the wrong way here. Okay, so alright. And in peace, turn things around and get your thoughts going in the right direction. Got to. We've got to. Because what's going to happen in this life is if we haven't trained our mind, if we haven't, we're going to go sliding when things start happening in this country, in this world. It's all you can see it happening. You can see all these bad things getting ready to just explode, and they're going to.
Like that song, In This World of Desperation.
Oh. Yes.
The next line.
Anybody know
the Newsboys?
This world of
doubt. Yeah. Yeah.
Can I?
Yes. Yeah, you want to say
something? I'm going to do a 180. You started this whole thing out, well, not the whole thing, but saying that people come to church and they know how to act within church.
Yeah.
And then they go home and...
Yeah.
Out the window goes.
Yeah.
Well, everything everybody was just saying was the strongholds.
Yeah.
That once we leave these doors, that's why it goes out. So, I mean, and plus, when people come to church, I mean, and the reason that, well, I feel the reason they act that way is because they're within the church body, they're within the love, they're within in God's love, they're worshiping and everything, and everybody's saying, oh, well, yeah, you're my friend, blah, 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 and we're there for you. But once you leave those doors, how many of those people turn their backs on you?
Well, I don't know.
And aren't there for you when you need to be? You know, I mean, so sometimes people, and they probably feel that they're being... They feel like they're being abandoned or something.
That's one of the possibilities. That can happen. I was saying last week to the Harvest Group that you know what's really great when people come together, and this is why we should forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And this goes to your point, Kelly. There is a spiritual energy because your energy, my energy, this person's energy, that person's energy. And we're here, we get encouraged by the Spirit of God, that's where we're two or three are gathered, there He is right in their midst. And there is this spiritual energy of Jesus that is amongst us, and we get fed by that. You know? Is that true? And so we come together, and there's something special about that because of the greater power and flow that usually happens when a group of people get together who really want to worship God. It's not a pretend thing. Otherwise, it's dead. But if people really want to, we end up getting fed by one another. You hear a testimony, or I can just look at some people sometimes, and where they've been that week is exuding out of them, and it feeds you, and you feel encouraged, you know? Yeah, I'm not the only one that feels like this, right? You feel this when you get together, right? So here we have we get this synergy. We get this together full kind of wow, and then we go home.
And it's easy right? here.
It's easy so much easier
because there's no distractions.
That's right.
Yes. You know why you're coming here.
Yes.
You cell phones are off. TV is off. Life is off. It is. You know? Nobody's arguing. Nobody's fighting.
Right. Everyone has the same mindset.
Everybody has the same mindset and the same goal.
Certain people too that you're around, especially like non-Christians. They tend to bring out the worst in you, and it's not their fault. It's like you're in trouble. It's the world. It's like
they suck that sponge dry.
All right, so here we see. This is good that we're discussing this because, well, then that is a problem, isn't it? Is the only time that we're ever going to really. Feel spiritual, make the right choices is when we're here together? Or is what happens here reminding us that there is that battle that is out there outside of being with all the rest of the Christian brothers and sisters, where you're at your place of work, even in your home, because it's that familiar place, and you're a little bit more down, your guard is more down, you know. That should say something to us about changing the way we look at home, changing the way we look at the business that we have to go to. Yeah? These are just, kind of just throwing that out there, that there has to be, and I don't think I'm going to get to it today, because I think I'm going to put this on the next
lunch.
Huh?
Didn't pack a lunch.
I didn't pack a lunch. This whole thing about the way we think about things, we really do need to have more of a disciplined mind, because Jesus says, through Paul to Timothy, he says, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear.
Right. That's right.
But of what?
Sound.
Love, power, and sound. A sound mind. And I'll tell you what. I'll preview. That is number two. Christians are destroyed because they don't move in the sound mind that God has provided for them. They're too caught up in their old way of thinking, all those old attitudes that were created by strongholds, and they don't even care. Well, this is just who I am. Take it or leave it. You understand what I'm saying here? And I think, you know, you can say that to me, you can say that to other people, to your friends and to your brothers and sisters, and you can very well mean that, but you say that to God. Take it or leave it, God. Can you imagine saying that to Jesus?
No.
Saying that to the creator of the universe? Well, take it or leave it, God. This is just who I am. And we forget that that's who we have to do with. Not each other, in the grand sense of things, to a smaller degree right now among ourselves, but we're going to stand before God. We're not standing, I'm not going to stand before Chris, and Chris is going to tell me what's wrong with me. I mean, he might tell me that anyway. But where it's going to really count for me is what God says to me and what I say to God. And if we have this attitude, because of strongholds, because of the way things are, not as excuses, but, you know, those things affect us, we've got to say, draw the line. No, this is not an excuse. This isn't who I want to be. I want to be everything that God wants me to be. And there is this thought stronghold that even makes us say that. Well, take it or leave it. We've done that with our spouses. Maybe we haven't said it in words, but we sure, by some of our actions, we've kind of pushed against our spouse. Especially when they're saying something to you where you need to change and you don't want to hear it.
Yeah, but it may not have to change. It could be them. You
keep telling yourself that, Jim.
I did want to say something.
Yeah, go ahead.
You talk about seriously. You know, when you're at work or something and you're there and all you hear is the language or fighting or whatever. Because it happened to me one day, and I just said, you know what? I don't need this. I stepped out in faith. I quit my job, which is a pretty decent job, and put my faith in God that something would come around. You know, and he did. I needed to get out of that situation because, like you said, I come to church, I'm the perfect person. I leave the church, I'm the biggest jerk I've ever met. You know? And God had put that on my heart that I need to change this. And every day, it's a work in progress.
Yes.
But I mean, I just keep giving it to God that He will help me. And, you know, I my life has gotten a lot better because of it. So.
Yeah.
But we need, it's our decision that we have to make. You know, yes. I didn't realize how bad this earth was until I told you the other day, you know, I read Job. And I could not believe what I read. I mean, you know, God gave Satan dominion. He gave it. You can do anything to these people but kill them. And I sat there and thought it was me. No, it was him, you know. And I needed to... And now I understand it, though. That is the thing. You know?
And as the light comes on, we have a chance to change. And how does the light come on? Because God's going to speak a message, and if you're hungry for what the Lord wants to do in your life, then the light will come on, and then you make choices to go in that particular direction or not. You know, things will happen this week that will challenge all of this, and you can fall into the same patterns. Or maybe you'll catch yourself and you'll think about what you're thinking and where that leads and who it is that, where's this coming from? Why am I thinking like this? Have you ever felt like sad and there's no reason for it?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
There's no reason for it. All of a sudden you feel apprehensive or sad or something and you go, Why am I feeling like this? I don't have any reason to feel like this. Yeah? Well, guess what? There's this other entity, dark entity, that's trying to bring you down, to speak to you, and you accept it. You know? How many times has that same entity said to you, you're no good? Who are you anyway? Now that plays into, well, we want to be humbled and we don't want to think more highly of ourselves than we should. So the enemy knows how to play on that, right on that line of, well, there are some scriptures that show that I shouldn't be thinking too great about myself. And we shouldn't, because we know where the power comes from. But God doesn't want us wallowing in pity. And anger and bitterness and all the lusts and everything else. He doesn't want us there. I think the message last week was about the fruit of the Spirit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that how it's supposed to be? Love, joy, peace, you know, long suffering, and all the rest of it. Right? I mean, that's what life should be like. Kathy and I were talking about this song from a movie called Rigoletto that says, I've mentioned this one before. How's that go?
Thanks. Where everything is good and everything is
where all is well and all is good and everyone belongs.
They're forever, they're happily ever aftering.
And everybody is happily ever aftering. Do you want that?
Yes.
You don't?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You know, there is a part, the song starts out, there is a part in fairy tales that's very near the end, when all the kingdom bows to their new queen. But why is it the king? Well, they're looking at, it's this concept about the church rising up in the glory it's supposed to be in, see? And it says, it says about how they're looking for the really what the song is about is the church rising up to be who it's supposed to be. Without spot or wrinkle, no such thing, you know, nothing dark. And then it says, where all is well and all is good.
And everyone belongs.
Mm-hmm. And happily they are ever after and, you know? I love that. I guess I'm just a naive, Pollyanna kind of person. That's what I want. I want that for every person in this world. I want that for me. I want that for my family. I want that for you. I want that for the community. I want that for everybody in the world. You see all these people in all these other lands, and you know they're starving, and you can see every ribbon in their body, and they're hurting, and they're crying, and all these bad things are happening to them, and ISIS is taking their family members away and killing them and cutting off their, you know. There's going to come a time that I hope we're all looking for when Jesus comes back. And there's all these bad things that are going to happen before he does. And we have to be the people that are there willing to volunteer to what has to happen to who we're supposed to be in the day of his power, in the days preceding his actual coming to stop this damned age. You know? Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to do it. Why not us? And why not that? Why don't we start it now? Being that way. Let's draw a line. Draw a line. We want to be that Lord. We want to be those people that aren't caught up in being hypocritical, that don't say one thing on Sunday and live a different way all the rest of the time, and really mean it in our minds. We know we're not going to be perfect, Lord, but this is where our heart is going. Amen. Amen. So we ask, Lord, that we would be a people of real vision, that we would have love from a pure heart, and that it's faith unfeigned. It's not one thing one day and the same day 2 hours later something else. God, help us to get our minds trained and get our heart right, Lord, that we serve you and you only. Thank you, Lord, today. We take every thought captive. This is what we want. Pulling down every stronghold. Taking time to think about what we're thinking about. And giving time to you, Lord. We love you. We want to serve you, Lord, here at the end of this age. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Malcolm. I have some thoughts on this. It all boils down to good gardening. One thing about the Lord, he goes beyond wisdom. It's a word that he has, we don't know that word, but it goes beyond our feeble human mind. In the word, when it talks about the parable of the sower and the seed, okay, in order to have a good garden and good soil, you need nutrients. Everything that you brought up here today boils down to this. That advice, that counsel, that wisdom prospers the soil with good nutrients.
And when he had the parable of the sower and the seed, you have three examples of the seed. Jesus knew what he was doing. This here is the seed. The seed landed on three different types of soil.
Yeah.
One was very receptive because it was fertile and had nutrients because of the word. That's our human nature. The other two had problems with being choked out by things of the world. And therefore, the soil did not prosper. And the seeds, when they sprouted, were choked out. The one that you're talking about today that is just as important as the other two examples is the seeds falling on poor ground,
yes.
Hard soil.
Hard soil.
The word did not penetrate so that it would prosper.
Yeah.
Now, when we leave here today, I want everybody to go down the road and look up on the wires. And they're going to see all those birds sitting on the wire. They're going to come down and they're going to pluck the seed out of our soil. That's why it's so important that this nutrient here prospers our soil, because that's who we are. So if we're going to benefit and we're going to bloom, then this nutrient has to be in our soil.
And we have to cry out for that. And God will give it to us. If we ask, we'll receive from the Lord. God, I want to be that kind of person. And need it. You know. So change me. Change me where I need to.
This message is a challenge. It's a challenge set forth by God to identify